On Aspire with Emma Greed, I sit down with people who don't just dream big, they build big. From Mark Cuban to Mel Robbins, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with me, Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast available now.
Dirt and Spray continues.
So your wife tells you something. I need to know, where are we going with this?
Andy Dirt Johnson.
She said, you know what I think we should contemplate buying? She wants to put our kid on a leash.
Brandon Sprague.
It's like seeing a tiger in a zoo. You just feel awful for it.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Look, she's an unbelievable mom. She carries all the weight in our family. I have to preface all this because she says I only throw her under the bus on the air.
So you just threw her under the
on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. That would be also called the Portland Sports Leader. Good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It is a beautiful mail sack Tuesday. We have a lot to get to today.
Yes, we do.
An hour from right now, we will be talking to the one and only Greg Oden.
Greg Oden. Number one overall pick, Greg Oden.
I did not have anywhere on my career card talking to Greg Oden.
No, one of the more random texts we've ever gotten from the boss. Hey, you guys want to have Greg Oden on next week? Sure.
Yeah, so how it yeah. came up, I was staying back a little longer. You had just left, and I was about to leave myself. Got to the door, brand man calls me, and I'm like, oh no.
Uh-oh, what did I do?
And you know what he's doing? I don't know if he knows he's doing this or he's doing it on purpose, but he's starting almost every conversation when he calls now with, hey, do you got a minute?
Yeah, a little purpose pitch. He's like, going high and tight with you just to keep you on your toes. You're not quite sure what's coming.
Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
What if I say no?
No, I don't have a minute.
Anyways, hey, you got a minute? And I'm like, actually, I'm still here. I can't find my car keys. In fact, I know where I left them. And I turn around. He had just been walking back to where I was leaving. And he goes, hey, I was talking to so-and-so, and Greg Oden's going to be here in August. And I was like, Greg Oden, huh? And he goes, you want to interview him? And I was like, sure. Not thinking at all it would be today.
This is the day it's happening.
And then he texts us not long after and was like, Greg Oden confirmed Tuesday, 8 a.m. And we're like, whoa. All right.
Let's do it. Will this become our Troy Aikman? We'll find out, because we don't have a phone number for him. He has our phone number. So he has to remember to call us.
It would be funny if it was our Troy Aikman.
Just say, Greg Oden's going to be on the show, and he doesn't end up being on the show. I still own a Greg Oden jersey, man. I still got it.
Do you?
I thought about rocking it on Friday when I went to the game.
Did you wear a jersey to the game?
I couldn't find my Roy jersey. I don't know what box. So I ended up wearing Sheed. Sheed was my choice.
Sheed's a good choice.
Sheed's a good choice. Yeah. I got Sheed. I got B-Roy. And Oden were my candidates that are still wearable, and I chose Sheed.
I think it says something about you if you choose a Sheed jersey after the Jailblazer doc.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
You know, you're a counterculture guy.
One of us, man. One of us. Let's go smoke some weed, Sheed.
Sure. Yeah, because that's what that means.
It's legal now, Sheed. It's legal.
So we'll talk with Greg Oden coming up at 8, and then as we mentioned, we have the mail sack in the final hour. You can get your mail sack questions, which is basically ask us anything, at 503-864-6326. We have a pretty pivotal game five, I would say, Andrew.
This is it. This is some people would say, must-win game.
The whole enchilada.
All the marbles on the line
tonight.
Do
the Spurs get their last bite of the old enchilada? Right. We'll have to wait and find out.
I love enchiladas.
Enchiladas are amazing, and I will fully admit to you, with no shame, although I've been shamed by one of my best friend's wives, I buy the canned red sauce.
I got no issue with it.
I go green sauce once in a while. Just did a green sauce enchilada about 2 weeks ago. But mainly we go canned red sauce. Whereas my friend who is Mexican, him and his wife.
Just laughs at that.
They shame me.
Yeah.
And like, why would you not home make it? And I'm like, because I've never learned.
I don't have the time on my hands, potentially, too.
Yeah, the red sauce is elite.
I do that with curry sometimes, too. Like, the idea of making it is great. And then it's like, that's, you know.
Or you do
I
it could with just white rice.
Open it up. Pour it in. Yeah. Guess what's going to be ready in 20 minutes? Yeah. Curry!
You don't want to home make your curry.
It's a little bit easier that way sometimes, man.
Before we get to the game, I'd like to talk about learning.
Oh.
I'm a big person that likes to learn. Okay, I'm learning yesterday about sugars. I'm reading on National Geographic website all these health things. Are collagens real? Do they actually help? So I like to learn. And all I like to do is allow people the opportunity to learn. Now, when people choose not to learn anymore and they stick on one side of an issue, even when they're proven wrong and they refuse to admit it, I start to drift away. I no longer want to engage. I have no interest.
Because there's no point.
You can be wrong. You can be right. I don't really care as long as you're willing to admit what is truth.
Yeah. There's a lot of debates that you have with people, and then it's like, yeah, you know what? This is going nowhere, so I'm not going to waste my time and energy.
And in the span of, looks at watch, 3 weeks, we've gone from, hey, new owner, this is kind of cool. Blazers have felt kind of in limbo since Paul died. It's been a blanket ownership situation.
We all knew she eventually had to sell.
Here comes Tommy Two Nickels, and here comes Shield Tile and Andrew Chung and Rip City. What is it? The Rip City Rising?
Rip City Rising.
Right. So here comes the new ownership group. Hey, we liked the press conference. He's pretty to the point. He wants to win. He cares about the experience of the fans. Well, since then, it's only morphed into, look how cheap this bastard is. And it's been pretty negative. We talked a lot about Tom Dundon. At the beginning of this series, you may recall, famously, it was reported Tom Dundon was not going to pay and allow the two-way guys to go on the road with the Blazers.
The three guys you have. Caleb Love's the only one I know. The other two names I'd never heard before.
The two-way guys, and for every other team, goes on the road. We were the only team in the NBA playoffs not doing that.
Yep.
And so that report came out, and it was one of many to highlight how cheap this guy was.
That was one, I think, universally, too. No matter what side of a debate you're on, you're like, yeah, you should do that. Like, why?
Right. That's
why,
not really
that's not a controversial topic.
Yes.
It's not a hot take. Send your guy. Caleb Love helped you win some games this year. Put him behind the bench in the playoffs.
You have that money in your pocket, sir.
Yes.
Okay? We all agreed on that.
There's a seat on the plane.
But because of that and many other stories, you had a lot of grand conclusions. And all my point was to highlight, one, how I didn't like certain elements of it, but also to say, can we wait and see? Is there any element of wait and see? And some people wanted to yell at you and tell you, no, you're a moron, it will never change. And lo and behold, it comes out, guess who's going on the road for Game 5?
Hey, look at that. They're on the plane.
Tommy Two Nickels.
We found a room for them.
He's moved up to Tommy
now,
Two Dimes.
Do you think they're all staying in the same room to save? One's on a hideaway bed, one's on the cot or the couch, one's on the actual bed.
It'd be funny if the two-way guys were at like a Motel 6.
They're down the street in a Motel 6. Two twin beds in the room.
Same plane, same bus.
They got to split an Uber to get to the
split an Uber
arena.
To get to the... You know, team bus for you. You're gonna play rock, paper, scissors. Who gets to share the twin bed?
See, I can joke about it, but all I'm saying is,
yes,
we have to be careful here with these defining who people are. Now, I'm not saying he's suddenly not cheap. He's still Tommy Two Nickels.
Yes, he is.
But for the one of the big stories that came out about him and the outrage in which it was becoming in the league and around the circles of the league, hey, a week and a half later, look who's learned. Tom Dundon is now paying for the two-way guys to go on the road. You can say, who cares? It's like, well, but if your opinion was this guy will never change, cheapskate, it's only going to get worse from here, but then he backtracks on that element, you have to also be willing to change.
You say that's not the case.
With the new information. And just to simply point out that, oh, look, people clearly got to him, clearly talked to him, and he said, okay, fine. I'll spend the extra 20 G's or whatever it costs for three guys to go on the road with the team.
I don't even think it's that much, but I don't know how much
it
all costs.
Sure, I
totally get it. The other point, too, I think that's important to remind people of is that in Quick's article that came out, was that last week, I think? I don't know. It's all blur. But I think it was last week, basically highlighting, too, that we don't even know where the directive came from. There was a directive from the top inside the organization to say, let's save some money. Find areas that you can save money. There was no reporting out there that says Tom Dundon called the travel agency or whoever's in charge of booking the Blazers trips and said Caleb Love will not be on that flight. We're saving the money on that.
Sure.
It just came. It came from somewhere. Now, it might have. I'm not saying it didn't come directly.
There was no ties.
No direct ties to it. And so I think this is part of the evolving with a new owner who's never done this before in this league. I think he's learning rapidly how much different it is from the NHL. Mm. He's learning how different the microscope is on what he's doing. Not a lot of people watch or follow hockey on a close level. Far more people are talking and following the NBA. These people in these circles love to have conversations and gossip and things go on the rumor mill, and it kind of takes on a life of its own. My ultimate point the entire time, no matter how many of these different headlines get thrown at you about Dundon and his cheap actions are, as long as he is investing in winning, that's all ultimately that matters to me in terms of what is the product on the floor and how invested is he in building that product, acquiring the right players, signing players, paying over the luxury tax if necessary. That's ultimately what matters most to me as a fan. Mm-hmm. And I think there's been two cases so far that have popped up that I would agree of saying, all right, dude, that didn't make a lot of sense based on the MO that you gave when you were hired that you care ultimately about winning. And they were, one, the masseuse snafu on the road in Phoenix of checking out and can they get massages, and that impacts your team potentially.
Yeah.
And then the idea of sending G League guys because it's just good for culture. Caleb Love helped you win games this year. It's not about them playing in the game. They're not going to.
Also, doesn't really save you anything.
No, and at the end of the day, it's such a marginal move that it just makes you look bad, and it erodes a little bit of the fabric inside your locker room that's not necessary to do. And so those are the only two that stood out to me in the last couple of weeks of like, yeah, that doesn't make sense in terms of how it helps winning. Mm-hmm. And he's already gone back on one of the two. Now, I don't know what the update is on the masseuse and if they can stay in their hotel room a little bit longer. We'll wait and see for that report. But if that ends up happening, like, I think that's been our only takeaway or our main argument over the last 2 weeks is that let's see how it evolves. Let's see how he learns. There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs. He's going to hit a pothole every occasionally because this is the first time he's going through it.
Yeah.
And as long as those mistakes are fixed and corrected, that's all that I can ask for at this point as a fan.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think you nailed it. It's allowing, like, I really view this. It's such an odd thing, I think, for the fan base, the city, and the media. Like, it's all one big group right now. And the funny thing is, like, we've literally had a media member on admitting how cush everything's been. And because things were changing, it's now suddenly shift to, well, he's the worst person to ever exist. Now,
worst owner in sports.
Yeah. Now, we're still going through the negotiation with the city, the county part. But, like, we got the state funding yesterday. Tina Kotek was at the Moda Center with some legislators, and they signed, and it was a big, you know, photo op, and this is a big priority for her. And I know I've seen the comments. I know how a lot of people in this city feel about funding for billionaires in arenas and all that stuff. I totally get it.
Yeah. Put your blazer pin on, go sign that bill. It's about $400 million, just shy of that.
I thought it was 365.
365.
365
yeah,
from the state. And I, you know, I know Wilson is anchoring to give him another 120 and
from the city, and then
continually funding
the county.
14 million. Yeah. And then so, they're trying to get close to the $600 million figure, right? And so that's become its own debate. But because of that, the lease question marks that we have, where it doesn't expire until 2030, and is it a 20? Is it a 25? Where's that going to go? Is he doing this whole thing to keep us hostage so he could just take us to fill-in-the-blank city? All that's popped back up. You pair it with the cheap stories of a masseuse checking out at a standard time instead of being late. And now the two-way guy's not able to go. I'm not telling you he's going to change and suddenly not be cheap. It's just to simply say, sometimes you got to breathe a little bit. And I get the texts, I read the articles, and I'm like hearing constantly about how cheap this guy is. And I'm like, yeah. And when I hear a new cheap story, I'm to the point now where I respond, yeah, he's cheap.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Did he nix the big trade? If that happens and he's like, I'm not paying anything for this roster,
we're not going over the luxury tax.
Then we hammer him.
Yes.
Like, if he's going to hold us hostage as a city to move us, or he's not going to add to the roster to make it improve and get better.
Try and tweak things and change
things. Yeah, dude, absolutely annihilate it. And that's where I think it's the most fair. But jumping on concluding somebody is something and they'll never be anything else in every facet, that is the mistake. And so it's small. It's not a big detail. None of us really know or even care when the two-way guys are there.
I would have had no idea. I didn't even know this was a thing. I didn't know they went. I had no idea. Until this story came out, as somebody who casually follows basketball,
right,
I had no idea that they were all going to be there or should be there.
And people around basketball would respond with, well, yeah, but in that league, in those circles, it's a big deal. Okay, cool.
Okay.
And now he's doing it.
Now he's doing it.
So
they're there.
Walking anything back, or are we just going to continue to talk about how he'll never change and he's the cheapest, you know, POS of all time? I think there's context to almost everything, and I think it's been utterly ridiculous how we've latched on so quickly. I said this before, I'll say it again. He's the new person at your school, and we're all sitting at the table gossiping instead allowing any room for us to get to know the person. Now, right, there are elements of it that are like, yo, actually is a bad boy with a motorcycle and a tattoo, but was he doing crystal meth with somebody's mom at the last school? Well, right now, that's rumor mill stuff. We'll have to wait and see if he offers us the crystal meth.
He's into the hard drugs.
We're just, it's so, the NBA to me at times as a big basketball fan, it's so disgustingly gossipy. And I just, there's parts of it that I absolutely hate. and the Tom Dundon stuff. We have a new owner for the first time in all of our lives.
Yes.
And we're freaking the F out over every single element. Oh, it's going to give us a towel, not a t-shirt, even though none of us wear the t-shirt.
Right. It's like, going to go directly in the dumpster bin when you leave the arena.
Cool, man. Were you cheering at the game or not? That's all right. I care about.
Were you loud? Was it fun? Did we have a home playoff game? That's all that mattered, yeah. Man.
Two-way guys.
I think making the correction on mistakes is a big part of life. And Dundon doing that is a great step in the right direction. And we just continue to evaluate as it goes on. You're not going to get a grandiose statement on this show about what it will or won't be. It's more of a, let's just see how this thing evolves. Take a deep breath. Look up in July and say, okay, where are we at right now with our new owner?
To your point, too, and I know we're against it. To your point, like, this was the reason... Because I've had a lot of listeners reach out and message about this. I've had people ask me about this. I've talked about it with other people off the record. And it's very interesting, like, just the feel and the buzz of it all. To your point, the reason we don't go harder is mainly because what if this summer they go and get a player of real note, make a big trade that they haven't made before, and we look at the roster and we go, holy crap, dude, if certain teams fall off a little bit here, we were already the seventh seed. Can we jump now? Are you going to be in August, September bashing the cheapness? Or are you going to go, holy crap, they finally did something? Like every year.
For the first time in my life, they've tried an aggressive trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what do you say? So then those people with the anti-Dundon stuff, how are you just going to walk that back and look like an idiot?
Right.
I want to do as many things as I can to not look like an idiot because I'm already an idiot.
I wake up every day telling myself, try not to look like an idiot today.
And then we end up looking like idiots in a lot of ways, but every day it's a goal.
I mean, if he swallows a massive luxury tax bill and ends up paying market value for a head coach.
And they're a four seed next year with like sneaky contention, you know, vibes and... Yeah, dude.
No guarantee we get there either. Let's just wait and see how this thing plays out. A nice step in the right direction for Dundon.
We got a game 5. We could talk about that. Are the Blazers going to be eliminated tonight? We'll discuss that next. Hour 2 rolls on 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radnor, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Sparta TRT Mail Sack Tuesday, so get those Mail Sack questions in at 503-864-6326. You can also put them in on the old YouTube chat or social media if you so choose. We will get to that today in the final hour. Greg Oden's going to join us, we think, in 40 minutes.
Yeah, Greg Oden.
Kind of wait and see on that one, TBD.
It's what we've been told.
Fingers crossed.
It's not that I don't want to talk to Greg Oden. It's more like I'm kind of hoping you are right, that we have the no call, and then forever we just get to be like, hey, Greg Oden's going to be on the show today.
I mean, it could become a funny bit on the show. If he doesn't call us, you got to turn it into content somehow, because we've told the people we have Greg Oden on the show at 8 o'clock.
So we'll get to that. But Blazers have a Game 5 tonight in San Antonio. Do or die, as you said earlier, and I think I checked that you're right.
Check the math on me.
Must-win game for your Portland Trail Blazers.
Some people are arguing must-win game tonight.
Game 4 did not go well in the second half. They were outscored by 38 points, and it's the worst loss from a halftime on standpoint. The first team in NBA history to be down by 15-plus points and lose the game by 15-plus points. So that was great. We made history that way.
Speaking of Caleb Love, man, we could use a couple of buckets. Can he suit up tonight? I'd rather play him than Matisse Thybulle right now.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Okay? If they win tonight, what's your shock meter out of a scale of 1 to 10? 10 being, oh my God,
I've never been more surprised in my life.
Goodness, they won this game.
If they are to win tonight in San Antonio and everybody says, like, Wemby doesn't smack his head on
there's
the floor again.
There's nothing that happens injury-wise. They just play and they win.
7.4 on the Richter scale.
Really?
Yeah.
Swag.
8.5.
Yeah, I'm bumping it to 9, dude. Yeah. I don't know
they're
if
12 and a half point dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they roll over and completely die.
I don't think so.
No, I think they'll be feisty.
I think that that second half performance was personally, I think each one of them, like, can't let can't go out
there was
like
nothing
that.
They the could hard do. Part I have with the NBA, because I agree with everything you're saying, is that it's a make or miss league. Breaking news: you got to make shots to win a game. I don't know if you know
that's
that.
True.
And you just get a game where, like, they went on the road in Denver a couple of weeks ago and made more three pointers than they have ever had in the history of the franchise.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Ever.
And that can happen.
They lost the game. They blew an 18-point lead in the second half.
Another 18-point lead.
Precursor to what's happening in the playoffs. But my large, it's just like you have games where randomly, like, oh, okay, we're just not going to miss tonight. All right. Where did that come from?
Right, right.
That's the weird part about they're not going to win the series. The series is over. But that's why I would put it at 7.4.
You know, Tracy McGrady once famously said, it's great to get to the second round when his team was up 3-1. And how'd that go, huh? The series is over, bud.
Epic comeback.
Maybe I need to put my Blazer Haunt glasses on right now and
wear them. How dare you doubt us? How dare you count us out tonight, huh?
I also have a very hard time forgetting how that second half looked, and
which one?
Well,
do you want to go? You want to do Friday second half or Sunday second half?
Sunday second half.
Okay,
started sooner.
Friday's was
that it did, but Sunday's first half was better.
Yes,
but Friday's was not good because it was a rookie and a second year cat doing it to
and
you.
And Wemby was not
and
in
Wemby
the lineup.
Wasn't out.
Their
or
best
was
player
out.
Was not playing in the game.
But it was a terrifying. I mean, utterly terrifying of, oh man, they have unlocked nastiness in a way that we hadn't seen in the series yet. They beat us in game one, and Wemby was great. And then he gets hurt in game two. We end up coming back and winning that one. And game three is heartbreaking in many ways. Game four was like, you think you're on this level?
Here we go.
Let us show you what the level looks like. And it was like,
Say bye-bye to your 19-point lead. Bye-bye.
Like it was nothing.
If they don't have a different plan of attack or something different in those pick and rolls with Wemby so he doesn't get 87.
What's the plan, though? That's the thing with Wemby.
Like, I don't know.
How do you...
We're done with the adjustments. The adjustments is go the hiking route and make a starting lineup change, and that's kind of it, dude. By this point of a series, the whole adjustment stuff is done. Everybody knows the sets. Everybody knows what each other are doing. They know who their strengths are. They know where the weaknesses are. There aren't adjustments. This is... Tonight, it is point blank to Dirt's point. Make your damn shots.
You're going to be open from three all night because they're not going to guard you out there.
Make them uncomfortable deep, deep into the fourth quarter and cross your fingers and pray. This is not is Tiago going to win us? Like, this isn't that. That's not how this sport works. So it's like.
Not to mention their
best player.
The adjustment
stuff is done.
You can't. How do you adjust against Wemby?
You can't.
He's 7'4".
They've done everything they can. They've put Drew on him. They've put Tumani. They've put Donovan. And I said this. I really felt this way. Watching Sunday, I thought in the first two, and game one was awesome. And I think game two is probably going to end up being pretty good until he smacked his face on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
He has felt a little rushed. He has felt a little out of control. He's trying to do too much. Second half, Wemby was just...
Dominant.
Measured, dominant. I know what I am. I know what I do well. Here it is. I'm going to disrupt everything defensively. And on offense, I'm not forcing stupid threes anymore. I'm not trying to do ridiculous spin moves on guards that are 6'2 who are just going to pull the chair out.
Yeah. He took like a 40-footer at one point on Sunday. Like, Wemby, buddy.
He only shot for the logo.
Yeah.
He's just, I'm set screen, roll, get the ball, or... Set screen, off the screen, roll, get the action, get the lob, easy bucket. Like, that's all he did Sunday, and it was tone-setting, and it was like, there it is. That's the guy I thought we'd see all playoff. The guy before had some great moments, but I thought was a little rushed, a little out of control, a young player experiencing the playoffs for the first time.
Yeah, but I like the idea of Robert Williams in the starting lineup because of the way he's played. I think it's more impactful offensively because Donovan can't hit the broadside of a barn right now, and so you get some rolls from Williams, some dunks. He can create some of those chances for you, but defensively, there's nothing you could do against Wemby. When he gets going downhill that way and they're lobbing it up to him, like, it's just good luck, man. Throw your hands up. He's going to block a ton of shots. He's going to have a ton of dunks, and I don't really know what adjustments can be made at this point in the series. You just got to have a night where all your guys offensively who have had bad shooting series somehow find their stroke. And if that doesn't happen, this is a blowout San Antonio runaway freight train, cover the 12.5 or 11.5 or whatever the number is.
There was something in the NBA playoffs last night that got my gears going in regards to our Portland Trail Blazers, and I want to throw it at you. So we'll get to that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Very quickly, a side note from my tease. Is it, like, utterly amazing that since March 18th, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is 7 of 18 from the field in the fourth quarter or overtime.
7 of 18 from the field? He's only taken 18 shots.
In the fourth quarter and overtime since March 18th.
That's over a month ago.
Yeah, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is 17 for 18.
Oh, 17 for 18?
Yeah.
He's only missed one shot.
Only missed one shot in the fourth quarter or overtime since March 18th.
I find it more crazy that he's only taken 18 shots in the fourth quarter of games in a month.
As you've seen, they don't need to play a lot of fourth quarters.
Play a lot of fourth quarters. Go ahead and sit down, buddy. Thanks for coming, Phoenix. See you later.
I'm looking forward to it. These two teams hate each other. I think they're repeating. I don't think that's a hot take to have at this point.
I mean, Indiana damn near knocked him off last year, so you never say never. So did Denver. They pushed him in the second round all the way to seven, but I tend to agree with you. Outside of San Antonio, I don't think there's anybody with a puncher's chance in the Western Conference.
So I'm keeping an eye on the NBA playoffs last night. I didn't particularly watch them very closely. And, you know, you see Minnesota get blown out by Denver in the last game.
They hung tough for the first half, and then it got out of hand in the third quarter. They're just shorthanded.
Phoenix gets swept, so that series is a wrap. But the first game that you got was Detroit and Orlando. And Orlando looking to go up 3-1, and, okay, here I am on the show thinking, oh, I think Detroit responds tonight. And it continues to look the exact same way every time. And Cade Cunningham has, I think he has 24 turnovers in his last three games.
Not good. I believe that's an NBA playoff record for a three-game stretch.
It's not been good whatsoever. Now, there's an element of that game that my brain goes to of Blazers. And so the Pistons fall to the eight-seeded Orlando Magic. Coincidentally, Magic were up 3-1 against the Pistons in 2003.
They were.
When the quote I said of T-Mac saying it's going to be nice to be in round two, they lost the series. They blew it.
Three in a row.
But four of the last five eight seeds to be up 3-1 against the one have won the series outright.
Watching Orlando play basketball just doesn't make a lot of sense. They don't seem to have any strategy. They're horrible offensively. They take some of the worst shots you ever
see.
They
lost Franz Wagner last night.
And then you're just like, how did you win? Okay.
I'm with you.
Is this an Orlando thing or a Detroit thing? I'm a little confused.
I think this is a Detroit thing. And I had noted this early in the season when Detroit was off to this rip-roaring start. We were doing like all-star game, you know, we were at the all-star weekend of like, what are your picks now? Flip it or stick it type stuff. I still didn't have Detroit. I wasn't a big believer. I think it's a great story, but I was always concerned about their offense, even as good as their record was. This is going to be one of the worst all-time flameouts in NBA history because you're a 60-game winner, and you're getting absolutely big-boyed by a team that nobody thought would even make the playoffs based on how they looked at the very end of the year.
They almost didn't make the playoffs through the play-in, and they're just waiting to fire their head coach.
But the element of Detroit that got my gears going on our Blazers, who play tonight, is we know this team needs offense. It's been one of the biggest problems for the Blazers this year. But it begs the question that Detroit is currently going through right now, and we're in a similar spot down 3-1 ourselves. The guys on your roster, how much will they improve or change versus sometimes you have to make uncomfortable decisions with guys that everybody loves because you know there's a ceiling to it.
Yes.
And I think Detroit is absolutely, as a one seed winning 60 games, I think they're going to make big decisions this offseason. They should.
They have to. If you lose this series, you don't come back and win, you have to.
Like, Jalen Duren's a good example of this. Jalen Duren's better than Donovan Klingon. He made an all-star game this year. He's been their number two guy largely the whole year. He's been awful in this series. And it's because his offensive game's not good.
No.
You know who else is struggling right now? Donovan Klingon. Because he doesn't have an offensive game.
Right.
You look around, you got Asur Thompson, the twin brother of Amen Thompson.
Phenomenal athlete, great defender.
Probably going to make all NBA defensive team this
year.
What
can he do to save his life? Make a shot when he needs to.
He can't make a shot, he can't shoot. Yeah. He's struggling from the field. Now, slightly better guy from the regular season, but who's also struggling? Who's an all-NBA guy? So I'm not sitting here telling you Portland, if they lose tonight, needs to trade Donovan Klingon and Tamani. It's just simply because of what's happening from Detroit, you've got national NBA writers that are like, you really have to evaluate this. And the takeaway is there's a premier amount that you should be putting in on offense. Defense is great. It's great to have an all-defensive guy. You look at the Warriors. They had an all-defensive. They had a couple of them with Clay Andre. You don't not want them out there, but you're seeing a premium in the NBA is the offense. It's having the shot creators, the guys who hit the open shots, And now you're seeing a couple examples of, oh, two of our five guys playing can't literally do anything on offense.
Nope, and your best player is turning the ball over a ton because he feels like probably he has to do everything by himself the entire night. I mean, you go back to game one of the series that they lost at home. I'd go back and look. I want to say he had like 37 points in game one, and they lost by like double digits. He was outstanding, and it wasn't enough. And so he feels like he has to create for everybody else because nobody else can create their own shot. He has to score 30. And it's just a lot of pressure that goes on one player's shoulders. And you know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday reacting to the weekend where it kind of felt like deja vu for Blazer fans because the last time, I know not specifically in the playoffs because we had the bubble year and then the Denver series and CJ stepped out of bounds, but when we were in the conference finals, it was what? You're building a double-digit lead and it's evaporating against a team who doesn't even have their best player. And what plagued a lot of those Portland teams come playoff time? It was you had Damian Lillard, who was an absolute star and a bona fide scorer at every level, especially in the postseason. Outside of that, CJ'd have good games here or there.
You get some CJ games.
Like he'd have some big games here or there. Guess who's not guarding Al-Farouq Aminu?
Right.
Guess who's not guarding Mo Harkless?
Right.
And so it's just it's an idea that you watch Portland sometimes offensively, and it feels like you're almost playing 5-on-4. That we Klingon, you want to stand out there? Go ahead, buddy. Shoot all you want.
Dude, I'd argue
Kamara, you want to shoot?
Yeah.
Go ahead, dude.
I'd argue in this series, there's been many possessions based on the numbers, and that's all I can go off of. How you perform right now is all I can react to. It's been more 5-on-3 than 5-on-4.
With your starting lineup in particular.
Tamani's averaging like 8 or 7 points. I looked it up, by the way. You know who he's playing like? Which, I'm not saying this is who he's going to be his whole career.
Uh-oh, do it.
He's Tony Allen.
Yeah.
Remember the opinions of Tony Allen in the playoffs?
A very good defender, but what always held him back?
Go look at the Tony Allen playoff numbers. I looked him up yesterday. Actually, Tony Allen had double-digit years in terms of scoring.
Sure.
This is Tamani's first go-around. I'm not saying this is his definition, but he's having a Tony Allen 8 points a game, 30% from the three, not a factor at all offensively series, and you pair that with Donovan, I'd say there's many possessions. It feels like they're playing 5-on-3.
Yes.
And
because there's
no need to
guard those guys. And when that's the case, you know what it makes it harder for? Everybody else.
Yeah.
Denny, guess what? You're getting everybody thrown
at you. Life's been harder at Denny the last
Drew Holiday,
games.
You're a guy who has a pulse offensively.
Yeah.
We're going to make life hard for you. All right, let's take Scoot out of the game. Picks up a couple early fouls. Doesn't get in the normal rhythm. He literally doesn't score a point.
Well, and then Scoot can have those moments too.
Yes.
Where then it's like it's almost 2-on-5 because Denny can score, but he still gets a lot of bodies. And Drew Holiday, right? Outside of Robert Williams getting dunk lobs, who on the team? It's Denny, it's Drew, and then it's
Scoot.
Yeah, he just went 0-for.
And he went 0-for in one of the games.
So I think it's not just like a 5-on-3. It almost, to a certain degree at times, especially with this Spurs team, it's felt like an 8-on-2. It's just brutal to go through. And Detroit's experiencing this firsthand as a 1 seed with 60 games. We're only a 7 seed. It's our first year in the playoffs. This is what it's kind of Dundon-esque of be careful just saying like never to a lot of guys. I'm not saying it's Donovan. I'm not saying it's Tamani. But if they make a move that's the right move, then great. Let's recalculate how we feel about all this. But you can also find yourself as good as you think you are in a situation if certain guys are going to be what they are offensively. You're stuck in really tough spots, I think, from a decision-making standpoint.
It's also a gamble, too, in a conservative way to bank on, and Detroit's learning this, internal development. Look how good he's been early in his career. I think he can go here as a player.
Right.
When that's not always the model that this follows. Sometimes guys just who they are. Maybe Thompson's just a good defender who's never going to develop an offensive game.
That seems to be what him and his brother are
right
now.
That can make him a high-level difference maker on the in the NBA. And you got a lot of young players right now. You're asking that question about Kamara.
You are asking that question about Kamara.
Shaden Sharp, Scoot Henderson. Like you go down the list of guys who are playing minutes for you in the playoffs, some of them in the start, three or four of them in the starting lineup, and you're asking the question, where does it go? And just because you think there's flashes or moments, it doesn't mean he's going to turn into X, Y, and Z. And so I'm just glad we're in a spot now. This goes back to the ownership conversation. Nobody on this roster should be untouchable. Denny is the most of them, but nobody should. You don't have anybody who is, we can't move this piece in any way, shape, or form. And
no,
I know
but,
fans fall in love with guys, and they don't want to see guys traded, but sometimes you got to rock the boat a little bit in order to get where you want to go.
But also, luckily for them, they've got enough guys to say, we like these pieces. Everything else is up in the air.
Yeah, but if somebody's going to make an offer, or you're making an offer for a player that's going to maybe put you into a different tax bracket, then I would say, all right, I'm willing to part ways with said player.
Right. Like, who has more value between these three players? Scoot, Shaden, or Tamani?
Probably Tamani.
Right, if you're an NBA
probably.
GM, what do you sound, a four-year 82?
Four-year 82 million, so he's the contract's affordable. He's made an All-NBA defensive team.
Yep.
Like, three and D, like, that probably has the highest
three
value.
And D guy.
But this playoff series has not helped his case. He's been really bad offensively.
Yeah, well, Shaden's been unplayable.
He's unplayable. He's playing 13 minutes a game.
And Scoot's had some great moments, certainly, but the overnight was rough. Yep. So, yeah, that's all I'm highlighting is just you see another team in the East and much more accomplished this regular season than you, and they're going the hard way of like, damn, dude, like offense is a premium. We're also dealing with it. Pivotal game five tonight, man. I hope Donovan has a big breakout game. I hope Tamani hits shots, but
build some confidence because I think you're going to lose the game no matter what. Try and build a little confidence that you can carry into next season. That would be nice to see offensively from those guys.
We got Greg Oden hopping on the show at the top of the hour. Dirt and Sprague, 7:45. We're back.
Hey there. I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the fan. All right, welcome back in. Greg Oden's going to be on the show, we think, at the top of the hour. Want to remind you to join us June 23rd as Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms Golf Club. Foursomes are on sale now between the morning and afternoon rounds. We'll all be hanging out at the infamous Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3 sixth hole, and we'll feed you with Matt's barbecue. Oh, cannot wait for that brisket. That brisket's so damn good.
Let it melt in your mouth, man.
It really does. Head to 1051thefan.com. Click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for info to sign up today. The rounds go pretty quick, and the Fan Golf Classic is presented, of course, by Toyota. It's also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, your neighborhood restaurant group, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Illegal Mezcal, and Window Nation. Before we talk to Greg Oden, I want to get political with you.
Let's do it.
Swag, I know you like to...
Turn your mic on, let's go.
Hop into the political waters. By the way, breaking news, the Phillies have fired their manager.
Just great, we're there. Now they're going to get the fired manager bump. Yeah. They're probably going to hit 5 home runs tonight. Couldn't you waited until we left town? Come on, Philly.
So I'm not getting political with you in a way that you may think. So yesterday I checked my mail, as I do every 2 weeks, which probably pisses my...
Dude, your mailman hates you.
She does hate us.
Hates you.
Hates us.
We got a great mailman. He's like a celebrity in the neighborhood. He carries around a bag of toys for kids when he sees them. He's got treats in the pockets for the dog. He's a big-time guy. Big-time guy in the hood.
Worried about that?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No. Not everybody's a pedophile.
I didn't even say that.
That's where you went. Not everybody is.
I don't know about that.
Not everybody is.
Dog snatcher. So we get these pamphlets, these voter pamphlets, right? Yeah. It's election season. And I open this up, and I'm going through all the candidates. I don't know all the candidates, right? So I go through and had some downtime. I'm perusing. What are all the measures? Where are all the measures going? Who are the people running for this district and that district? And I find a person that I know of through another person. And this person's already run before and lost, and they're running again. Mm. And I took a photo, and I sent it to the person, and I said, running again, huh? Couldn't handle loss the first time.
Round two.
And it was a funny response of, oh, yeah, they're a huge piece of crap, too. Because when you live in a community.
Yeah, people know things about you.
People know other people. You could probably certain text about me behind my back. Like, sure. Well, he's kind of a weird duck.
Right.
He never says goodbye at parties. He doesn't show up half the time. He's a weirdo. Definitely out there. It was just really funny. And I thought of a really funny political commercial. Could you imagine the opponent of that person?
Getting that guy to be
getting
in an ad?
That person to be on the commercial. And it's like, I know him. Huge piece of crap. Don't vote for him.
We've had that with family members of politicians.
I know.
Who have come out and been very adamantly against their sibling.
But it's not worked.
Running for... No, it doesn't usually work.
Because everybody's like, well, the family's cheated. Nobody wants to believe that their candidate could be awful.
The people who have known them their entire lives. I'm going to take your word for it. If your family's coming out and campaigning against you, that how is that not the biggest of red flags?
Now, this isn't a family.
No, it's just somebody who knows.
It's just a person that knows, and it was the most hilarious, like... Yeah, can't quite get the message that does nobody wants him. Huge piece of crap.
Stop running for office, man. It's not going to work out for you, okay?
Well,
this isn't going to happen.
I'm just like, you can't get another hobby.
I know. Find something else to do. It costs money to do that, too. It takes time and effort as well.
Oh,
I mean,
no
depending
doubt.
On what you're running for.
Like I see the signs. The person's signs.
The signs. If there are the sign level of candidate, that's a lot of time, effort, and staff, and work. And like that's an operation that goes into that.
The funny thing is when you see other people that you know separate, that it says they've endorsed them. And I'm like,
wait, what?
Do they know they've endorsed a huge piece of crap?
You might need to send them a text message and say, are you aware of what you're doing here?
Nope.
Would you like to see the bodies in the closet? I'm going to go ahead and open it up for you. Check it out. I got things in his closet.
They might just show you the bodies in the closet. Look at my bodies, huh? They're pretty cool. I got bodies in my closet.
Very true. Yeah, I haven't known anybody that's run for office in quite some time. We had an old family friend who ran. I went and knocked on doors, ran for the House Senate in the state of Oregon. It's always a fun thing to go knock on random people's doors.
If I ran...
You know who you're voting for?
If I ran for, like, local government and I asked you, and I asked Swag, I asked both of you guys to knock on doors with me...
I'd knock on doors for you.
You would?
I would. I would hate you for asking me to do it, but I would do it.
Swag, would you go knock on some doors for me?
Yeah.
I'd do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you guys are nice. It just seems
I'd
awful
I'd write some speeches for you.
I mean, I'm not going to be... you'd be a speechwriter.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be a pesty knock on door guy. Like, if you get me, like, I'm not going to linger. If you want to talk, I'll talk to you. But if you give me a no thank you, all right, see you later.
Well, it's soliciting, though.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
I know.
So it feels a little awkward to do it.
Not ideal.
All right. Well, we have a loaded third hour of the radio program, and Greg Oden is set to call in. Yes, former number one pick of your Portland Trailblazers. He's now diving into an interesting realm in his professional career, and I want to talk to him about that. What's he make of our beloved Blazers that he's keeping an eye on, and the luxury lifestyle of an NBA player. Greg Oden, loaded third hour, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South, but for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.